Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. To recap Chapter 6, Perek Vav. After 7 months, the Plishtim, the Philistines, decide to return the Aron Brit Hashem, the Ark of the Covenant, with gifts, like the ones given to Bnei Israel before their exodus from Egypt. And they agree that they should learn their lesson from Egypt and not hold out, because if they do, they will be decimated like Egypt. 10 plagues! They already had one, and that was enough. They send a wagon led by cows that just gave birth. If the cows do not stray to return home to their newborn calves, and they go straight to Israel, it is a sign that the God of Israel is responsible for their suffering. And if not, then it was happenstance, mikre. Needless to say, the cows go straight, don't veer left or right, and go straight to the city of Beit Shemesh. The people of Beit Shemesh were so happy when the Aron returned. They sacrifice the cows, have the Levi'im, the Levites, take out the Aron, the ark, and all the gifts the attendant box contained. And Bnei Israel looked at the box and at the Aron Brit Hashem. And the psukim say, the text says, that 70,000, 50,000 were slain. Malbim explains that the whole area's population was 50,000, and of them, only 70 died. The leaders, who should have known better, died because they did not set a good example for the rest of the population to show reverence to the Aron, to the Ark. Disrespect for the Aron, for the Ark, was the reason for its capture in the first place. Beit Shemesh is traumatized by this event that turned into a tragedy, and they send messengers to the city of Kiryat Yearim, another neighboring city, to take the Ark of the Covenant. Do Bnei Israel turn away from Hashem after this momentous and critical event? Our answer is no. In our Perek, in Perek Zayin, Chapter 7, the Aron was brought to Kiryat Yearim, and Avinadav took the Aron into his home, and his son Elazar supervised the Aron. This spanned 20 years, and during that whole time, Bnei Israel followed Hashem. Rashi explains that it was Shmuel's leadership and traveling around to all the Israelite cities that brought Bnei Israel closer to Hashem. This is a huge accomplishment, because Shiloh was destroyed, and the Aron was separated from the Mishkan, and the Mizbeach, the altar, which means the Aron Brit Hashem was in a separate place. It was in Avinadav's house, and the Mishkan is not put together in the same way, and the Mizbeach, the altar, is in another location. And Shmuel was able to connect Bnei Israel with Hashem, even though all these religious objects were disjointed from each other. And this perek will highlight Shmuel's religious, spiritual, and judicial success. Shmuel gathers all of Bnei Israel for a spiritual meeting to come closer to Hashem, to reconnect with God, and to judge the people. We will see that the language used to describe Shmuel's actions is very reminiscent of Hannah, his mother's language, when she was supplicating Hashem. We see her profound influence on Shmuel and his spirituality. So Hannah was not just in the first perek, and she just remains there, and her story remains there. She had influence on Shmuel. She has influence on tefillah, on prayer. She had influence on the whole destiny of Am Yisrael, because without her, we wouldn't have Shmuel, and we wouldn't have this change in Am Yisrael. So what happens in our perek? We're in Psukim Gimel Advav, verses 3-6. Vayomer Shmuel al kol Beit Yisrael lemor, im b'chol levavchem, atem shavim el Hashem, hasiru et Elokei hanechar mitochechem, v'achinu levavchem el Hashem, v'ivduhu levavo, v'yatzel etchem miyad plishtim. Shmuel says to all of Bnei Israel, if you're going to worship Hashem with your whole heart, and you're returning to Hashem, get rid of all the avodah zarah, all of the idol worship, and get your hearts ready to Hashem and only worship Hashem. Ivduhu levado. And then he'll save you. Again, the idea that Hannah was davening only to Hashem. is very significant because Shmuel uses the same language. Worship only Hashem, specifically focus on Hashem. Vayasiru bnei Yisrael et ha-ba'alim ve'et ha-ashtarot vayavdu et Hashem levado. And bnei Yisrael do that. They get rid of the avodah zarah. They get rid of their idols. And they only worship Hashem alone. And then Shmuel says, kivtzu et kol Yisrael ha-mitzpata ve'et palel ba'adchem el Hashem. Now all of you should gather to the mitzpah, and I will daven for you to Hashem. Again, tefillah, prayer, is so important for Shmuel, just like his mother. And what does he do? Vayikavtzu ha-mitzpata. They all get together in the mitzpah. Vayishavu mayim. And they draw water. Vayishpachu lifnei Hashem. And they pour it out before Hashem. Remember when Chana says, I am pouring my heart out to Hashem? So Shmuel is using that same symbolism for Bnei Israel. They're pouring out water, which symbolizes they're pouring out their heart before Hashem. And they fast that day, and they admit to Hashem, Chatanu LaHashem. And then Shmuel judges all of Bnei Israel. Shmuel wants Bnei Israel to repent and remove all idol worship. And he also exhorts them to worship Hashem exclusively, Levado. And pour water as a sign of pouring out their hearts to Hashem. The same attitude that we saw with Chana, and the words are resonant with Chana's actions. Her legacy lives on in her son. When the Plishtim, though, hear that Bnei Israel gathered, they are worried that Bnei Israel are going to try to retaliate for their original defeat. And the fact that the Plishtim captured their Aron, their Ark of the Covenant. So the Plishtim gather for war. When Bnei Israel see this, they're terrified because they were ruthlessly defeated just a few decades back. They're worried about another defeat by the Plishtim. So they cry out to Shmuel to pray for them. And Shmuel listens to Bnei Israel. He sacrifices a suckling lamb and cries out to Hashem. And the Plishtim are defeated through Shmuel's prayer and through his sacrifice. And then Bnei Israel run after the Plishtim, who are totally defeated. And right after this event, the Navi states that the Plishtim were defeated all the days of Shmuel. Not only were they defeated, but Shmuel was able to return several cities that were conquered by the Plishtim back to Israel. And he even made a peace treaty with the Amorite nation. Wow. Shmuel's unique quality as a leader was that he went to the people and judge them in Beit El, Mitzpah, and Gilgal, and then would return home and begin the cycle again. He did not stay in one place. Devorah had to stay in one location because, as a woman, the Gemara in Megillah 14, Yud Dalid, elucidates that it was a message of tzniut, modesty, to be in one location and sitting under a palm tree. Abarbanel states that by knowing where she would sit in judgment, it lent a very important measure of transparency to her leadership. So for Devorah, staying in one place and for everyone coming to her was an important message. But on the other hand, for Shmuel's time, Shmuel brought the word of God to the people. He traveled around. There was not a central location like Shiloh anymore. The Aron was in Kiryat Yarim in a private home. Ralbag explains that Shmuel revitalized Bnei Israel's connection to Hashem by going out to the people and bringing God to them. But then he needed to return home. How come he goes in a circle all the time? And how come he always comes back home? Because he needed to return home to energize and re-energize his bond with Hashem. He had to go back to his Mizbeach, his special altar, his touchstone with Hashem. And Pasuk Tetvav Yud Zayin, verses 15 to 17, tell us, Vayishpot Shmuel et Yisrael kol yimei chayav. And Shmuel judged Bnei Israel as long as he lived. V'halach midei shana b'shana, and every year, v'savav et Beit El, v'hagilgal, v'hamitzpah, v'shafat et Yisrael et kol hamkomot ha'ele. And he would go year after year. He would travel all over to Beit El, to Gilgal, to Mitzpah, and he judged Bnei Israel in all these places. The Midrash, when it tells us that Elkanah went every year, Vayhi midei shana b'shana, that we read in our first chapter, we see a connection here. With Shmuel, it says he went every year. With Elkanah, earlier it said he went every year. And the Medrash uses this idea from Shmuel to show that where did Shmuel get it, that he traveled around from Elkanah? That Shmuel's traveling from place to place is also an echo of Elkanah, where Elkanah went all around to convince people to come to Shiloh. So too Shmuel is going all over to bring them closer to Hashem. So we see that both Elkanah and Hannah had a very big impact on Shmuel. Utshuvato haramata kisham beito, but he would always come back to the Ramah because that was his home. V'sham shafat et Yisrael, v'even sham mizbeach laHashem. He also judged Bnei Israel in his home in the Ramah. So here we have Shmuel, a great leader who prays for them, who gets them to do teshuva, repentance, who can pray to Hashem and defeat their enemies for them, who goes out and judges them, who travels around and really fulfills their religious needs. So religiously, politically, spiritually, he's very active, very successful. But we know in the next perek that Bnei Israel asked for a king to defeat the Plishtim. Why do they need a king if Shmuel judges them and can defeat the Plishtim miraculously? Radak explains that as long as Shmuel was young and vibrant, he was an extraordinary leader who seamlessly paired religious and political leadership. He was the ultimate shofet judge. Bnei Israel renewed their relationship with Hashem through him and prospered. However, Radak suggests, maybe once Shmuel aged and was no longer able to travel to all their various cities and judge the entire population of Israel where they dwelled, Bnei Israel started to slip further away from God and the Plishtim started to regain the upper hand on Israel. But could this be the only reason? Maybe there are other reasons as well. And we will discover them in our next perek, chapter 8, perek chet. To sum up, in our Perek Zion, the Aron was brought to Kiryat Yearim, and Avinadav took the Aron into his home, and for 20 years, Bnei Israel followed Hashem. Shmuel gathers all of Bnei Israel for a spiritual meeting to come closer to God, to reconnect, and to judge them. They repent, they remove all idol worship, and they promise to just worship Hashem himself. And they pour water as a sign of pouring out their hearts to Hashem. And we saw that the language used to describe Shmuel's actions was very reminiscent of Chana, his mother's language, when she was supplicating Hashem. We see her profound influence on Shmuel and his spirituality. When the Plishtim hear that Bnei Israel gathered at Mitzpah, they're worried that they're planning an attack. So the Plishtim gather for war. Bnei Israel are terrified. They remember that ruthless defeat decades ago when the Aron was taken in battle. They cry out to Shmuel, pray for us. And Shmuel sacrifices a suckling lamb and cries out to Hashem. And the Plishtim are defeated. Shmuel's unique quality as a leader was not only that he prayed for them, not only that he was able to bring them back to Hashem and repent, but Shmuel had this unique quality as leader that he also went out to the people and judged them in their homes, in their cities. And he traveled from Beit El to Mitzpah to Gilgal. And then he would return home and begin the cycle again. And he did not stay in one place. We see that this is also an echo of his father, Elkanah. Ralbag explains that Shmuel revitalized Bnei Israel's connection to Hashem by going out to the people and bringing God to them. And then he returned home to re-energize his bond to Hashem by going back to his Mizbeach, his altar, his touchstone. But we know that Bnei Israel asked for a king to defeat the Plishtim. Why do they need a king if they have Shmuel? And he's so amazing. He's both political and spiritual. Why do they need anyone else? Is there a real need for another leader? Or are Bnei Israel fickle as a nation and we get bored with our leaders? Do we always treat our leaders with respect and with reverence and give them the honor they deserve? Our next Perekhet, chapter 8, will reveal a lot about Bnei Israel's attitude. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.